The Digital Journey on Radio Kerry, supporting digital transformation in Kerry.
Dina, you've been on the show before, as I'm sure the listeners remember, but in case anyone hasn't heard that piece, can you tell us about yourself and the work that you do at Purple Unicorn?
Yeah, hi. So my name is Dina Viapuri. I'm the founder of Purple Unicorn, which is an organization that supports displaced migrants. What we do is we upskill them within tech so that they can actually find meaningful work within the tech industry. So we work with a lot of migrants within the direct provision center and help them in their upskilling journey.
That's fantastic. Obviously, you would come across people from, you know, a variety of different cultural backgrounds. Can you explain to us then why cultural diversity is so important?
I think it's very important in terms that each individual bring in their own perspectives. You know, we were all brought up in different ways, so there are different values, different outlook, creativity, you know, how they manage stress or how they work as a team. So it's actually very important in a workplace to have those variety of, you know, even perspectives and things to tackle different issues or problems, or even, you know, looking at things in a different set of eyes. And so that's actually is very valuable to companies, I think.
It certainly is. You touched on it there, and I was going to ask you about that. You know, people, obviously, they come from different cultures. They obviously have different experiences and different outlooks as well. And you touched on a couple of them there, but there are a lot of benefits then that that can bring to a workplace, whether it's, you know, looking to solve a particular problem or creativity maybe, or just coming up with a different idea to tackle a different issue. And that's obviously hugely important for businesses, because there's always going to be some challenge or something, you know, that you need to come around, and to do it in a different and creative way is important.
Yeah, that's right. If, for example, you give a problem to 10 different people, they're all going to think 10 different ways, and they're all going to bring different ideas, different ways to solve it. And I think when you come from different countries, you have your own kind of, you know, like way of thinking, and you can bring that to the table, and you can see it from that person's perspective. And, you know, each one of us come from different corners of the world. Our outlook in life is different. So I think that way is very valuable.
Dina, is it something that you're noticing then? I suppose, you know, you're working with displaced migrants, as you mentioned, and our workplace is becoming more and more open to having that cultural diversity and to including people from different parts of the world into their own organization or business.
I think definitely I can see an improvement. There's a big shift. A lot of companies are trying to be more inclusive. And what we mean by inclusive, we don't necessarily just mean hiring people from different backgrounds and different countries. But also when we talk about inclusivity, we are talking about, you know, minority. We're also talking about people with disabilities or people that they could be coming from a neurodiverse diversity as well, and that we create that inclusive way of working. Mm-hmm. This is what actually a lot of people are looking for as well. They consider when they are actually considering working for a company, and they are actually now start to promote diversity and inclusion and what they call also belonging, which is very, I wouldn't say trending, but that's something that people are looking at when considering a position with a company as well. They want to align themselves with companies that actually, you know, have an impact, which is actually very important as well for individuals. So in that way, they will attract more and more talent to come and work for them as well. So it is a win-win for companies.
It certainly is. And that's a really good point you made there, Dina. You touched on it there, you know, inclusion, it's very, very broad and wide-ranging. You know, there's a lot of different areas that needs to be touched on there. Do businesses and organisations, do they need to get a bit more education maybe on the topic so that they know they're doing the right things? Or are they kind of moving in that direction already, and are they already kind of looking into it and doing their best, I suppose, to try and make their workplace more inclusive?
Yeah, I think a lot of organizations are already on the journey. It's now part of the requirement as well, you know, that companies have to be inclusive. So it's no longer as what it used to be a couple of years ago. It's only ticking boxes. So now they're truly embracing diversity and inclusion. I think in a lot of big organizations, I would say, they all have a DEI person in charge. So where they're actually running programs and making sure that, you know, it's not just a tick box exercise, but they're actually consciously working and making sure that it's there for the company and making sure that, you know, it's done well. So some companies are on the journey, others has already implemented it and thriving within the field. So I think it's very positive for Ireland anyhow, I think.
That's great to hear. We mentioned that we are living in a very multicultural society now, Dina, and obviously workplaces, as you said, there are doing their bit and they're trying to get, I suppose, you know, involved in inclusivity and including everyone into their workspace. How important is it that we see people from different cultures and people from different parts of the world working in different industries?
I think it's very important that we bring it more to light as well. I mean, I give you an example. It's not just in tech, but if you walk the corridors of our health industry, I mean, whether you're in a hospital or whether you're, you know, in a private clinic, you know, there's a lot of people. They're multi-ethnic people. You know, there's a good diversity and inclusion in our health system, for example. And what I mean by that is they are not just all from, you know, specific countries, but, you know, we have them from Australia, we have them from the US. You know, myself, last year, I met a doctor who was from the US. And, you know, so we have to kind of be very conscious that when we talk about diversity, we are not only pigeonholed. What I mean by that is that only from a specific demographic. So they come from different parts of the world.
At the moment, with your work in Purple Unicorn, are you working with a lot of different people at the moment?
I do, yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the people that I work with, the individuals, they mostly are in the direct provision. That's across Ireland. And in that, you know, they come from all parts of the world. Some of them from Syria, Palestine, Afghanistan, from Africa, you know, and other parts, also Eastern European as well. They ended up here for some reason. So, yeah, so there's a big mixture, I would say, a big mix of individuals. And they're all professionals in their own right, you know, for whatever misfortune happened to them and they ended up here. But a lot of the individuals that I support, I mean, most of them would have very highly education and, you know, and it's easier to transition into something different.
I can imagine. And it's great that you're there to help them, I suppose, because, you know, when you do come to a different place in a different country, you don't know where to start. And if you have those skills and you have those expertise, you want to put them into use. So it's great to have someone like yourself in Purple Unicorn who's there to help them.
Yeah, it's, I suppose, identifying the skills and then trying to find a way how can you assist them in a way, because when they arrive here, they don't know anyone and they don't know the system. They don't know even how to apply the jobs because it's different. Employment is different here. They might not even know how to do the CV to fit what the Irish employers will be looking for. So there's a big learning curve for them when, you know, when they arrive. So it's a pleasure to kind of assist them. And I picked an area where it's always going to be in demand in terms of work. So I make sure that they get upskilled in tech so that, you know, they're always going to have work in the future.
That's really important. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, Dina, do you think that more can be done, I suppose, to better enhance diversity inclusion when it comes to workplaces?
I think we always there's always room for improvement. But like I said, you know, we've progressed since we started on the journey, and it's just very positive to see all the work that's been done, and all the, especially the a lot of the big companies and smaller companies as well, they actually really, you know, they are promoting diversity and inclusion in all aspects of diversity and inclusion, and really they're conscious about it, you know. And they, I suppose, employers now have found that it is very important for the business, because we all now want to make impact. So one of the impact is making sure that we are equal employment for all. It's positive.
That's good. Geraud, I'm going to bring you in now. And firstly, you might just explain to us what exactly neurodiversity is.
Yeah, so neurodiversity, it's an umbrella term for individuals that would have a diagnosis of, say, autism, ADHD, maybe dyslexia or dyspraxia. And I suppose from a statistical point of view, about 15% of the population would have one of these diagnoses. And for a lot of the population, they might never have gotten a diagnosis. So when you're looking at this from a workplace point of view, you have to take it that there's potentially individuals within your workplace that are neurodivergent, but might not know themselves, or they might not feel comfortable with disclosing it to their employer. So when we look at the physical workplace environment, it's often the thing we forget about when it comes to diversity and inclusion. We focus on the other elements, but the physical environment can have a huge impact on the individual that has a diagnosis of maybe autism, dyslexia, dyspraxia, whatever it might be. And there's strategies that you can implement within your workplace to make it more inclusive to talents that have one of these diagnoses. And sometimes it's a simple fix, low cost to fix, and then other times it's where you might integrate it into the build of the newer project.
Is this an area now that, that workplaces are looking more and more into, I suppose, and trying to make their organisations more inclusive, Garrod?
Yes. So, like, companies are continuously looking at ways to attract and retain talent, especially within certain areas as well, where it's become more and more of a challenge to acquire and retain that talent. So diversity and inclusion is something that is talked about in every company, large and small. And when it comes to neurodiversity, it's a term that was coined a number of years ago, but especially from an Irish SME point of view, it's become more talked about, and companies across the country have implemented strategies to make the workplace more inclusive from that point of view. And when you look at the space that I'm in today in the RDI Hub in Clonmel, when this was being developed and in the planning stage, that's when some of these elements were taught about. So we looked at it from a neurodiversity point of view and looked at implementing quiet spaces within the building, implementing kind of dynamic workspaces that if an individual doesn't want to work at their desk for a period of time, they can go into one of the booths here and have a private space, or it could be that they could go upstairs up into the Reeks restaurant and overlook the beautiful McGillicuddy Reeks. So it's all about these dynamic workspaces that people can move around as they're doing different types of work. They become more productive and they have that space to focus.
And you mentioned the quiet rooms there, and I suppose just having the option to move from a different place, you know, depending on how you're feeling. What kind of an impact does that have then? You mentioned productivity, which is obviously hugely important, but what kind of other impacts does it have on a person when they are carrying out their daily tasks?
Yeah, so like it's a huge impact on the person that is neurodivergent, but what we find with a lot of the strategies that we talk about from the neurodiversity point of view is that when they're implemented, they actually have a huge positive effect on the whole workforce. So even for that individual that's neurotypical and doesn't have a diagnosis, there's periods in their day where they may need to use the likes of the quiet spaces. They might need to go into one of the boardrooms here, turn down the lighting and have a more focused space to be able to work. So a lot of these strategies, they're universal across the whole workforce. And it's really important to kind of look at it from that point of view of that what works for one quite often will actually work for many other people within the workplace.
That's really interesting to hear. And it's great to have that option for people because, you know, depending on how busy someone is or, you know, how you're feeling on a particular day, you might need a place that's quiet just to, you know, to focus a little bit more. So it's great to have the option and to be able to go there. I know another thing, Garrod, that companies are looking at now is areas that are painted in different colours. Can you talk to us about the impact that has and maybe what kind of colours we're talking about?
Yeah, so a big aspect within the design is colours. Certain colours will have an impact in how a person feels when they're entering that space. Even from the point of view of having plants within the building can have a positive impact on the person that's neurodivergent, but it can also have a very positive effect on someone that's neurotypical as well. And having them adaptive colours and having spaces where they're very transparent in terms of where that person is going. So when we talk about how we're adapting the workplace, having clear signage in terms of where that person is going. So we all have experienced that going to hospital and nobody knows where they're going, but they're following the signage. But we also need similar things within the workplace. So if you are implementing these strategies, having clear signage of where things are going and clear rules around what can be done within them spaces. So from a neurodiversity point of view, it can be quite a challenge if a person was eating food at their desk, the smells that go along with that. So having clear kind of rules and policies around this can have a positive impact on that neurodivergent employee.
And Garrod, as Dina mentioned earlier, inclusion spans across a wide variety of areas. And it also has an impact on the people who are coming into a business, depending on what that business is. So the employer has to think about the employees, obviously, but also about the customers that are coming into the business. When it comes to looking at the consumer's needs, is the employer looking at the same things that we've been speaking about, or are there other areas as well that they should be taking into consideration?
Yeah, 100%. I think we've spoken a lot about them, but of course, the priority is how do you make the customer feel comfortable within their space. And we've seen a number of businesses in Ireland implement strategies around this in terms of reduced lighting and sound at certain times within their shops. But of course, there's always ways to go in relation to this. And I think for companies that are thinking about doing something in relation to this, it's actually just opening your mind to actually listening to your customers, the customers that may have one of these diagnoses, and bringing them into the space and actually listening to them. So our CEO here, Liam Clint, he always talk about the voice of the customer and ensuring that the voice of the customer is heard. And when it comes to neurodiversity, a lot of businesses, they forget or they don't know that they should be listening to them, individuals, and the insights they can view into how your business is laid out and the physical environment can have a huge impact on other customers then within the business. So I think we all get overwhelmed by certain businesses when you go in the door and the lights are a lot brighter. And what will end up happening is you actually just leave that business and you're not spending money potentially in that business then. So it's really important to listen to your employees and their point of view on things. But more importantly, or equally as important, your customers as well.
It certainly is, and that's some really great advice there. Garrod, there is a requirement obviously now on businesses when it comes to diversity and inclusion, but that requirement is more really than just having an officer, I think, in place. It's about actually having those policies in place. And as you mentioned, they're listening to the customers and listening to the employees and knowing what people want and what works for the people that are, you know, availing of the business, whether that's coming in as a customer or whether it's working there every day. Do you think that it's something that businesses are really taking on and trying to make a difference in?
I think some are. I think there's still a road to go, but we've seen this across the world, that there's still a journey to be had with this. And I think for me, and like even looking at neurodiversity over the years and the conversations I would be having with businesses, is people are afraid to even start having questions about us. So when I started talking with senior leaders around neurodiversity, they mightn't have known what the definition was. They mightn't have known the different things that they do in a positive way. And what ends up happening is there's a paralysis there where they don't do anything. And this is the thing around diversity and inclusion, is that we need to get over that and get to a stage where we become comfortable with asking the questions of how can we help? How can we make a difference to the individuals that are interacting with our business? And when you look at the employees within our business, then there's loads of training out there that you can do with your employees to raise that level of awareness, where they become comfortable with the terminology that's used and start to maybe implement things themselves on the ground and become more aware. And I suppose the big thing for me is, how can you increase the empathy that a person has for the individual that is experiencing some of these things within the workplace? Empathy is the big thing here. It's not about feeling sorry for the person. It's about empathizing that they're doing the same job as you or going about the tasks in the same way. But there's things that are put up as barriers in their way. And you can be an ally and support them. And to do that, you need to become comfortable with talking with them around how you can support them. They'll educate you in that matter as well.
They certainly will. That's really good to know. Now, Rabia Mirzah is going to talk to us about gender diversity and inclusion. Firstly, Rabia, can you tell the listeners who you are and what you do?
Who am I? I'm an empowered woman. I empower women, men and businesses. I'm based in Dublin. I have a business called Leadership and HR Solutions. And as the name suggests, I provide leadership and HR solutions to businesses and individuals. And I have a particular interest in empowering women in business.
Where did that interest come from, or why did you feel that there was a need for women to be empowered when we look at businesses?
Having my business, I deal with a lot of senior executives C-suite level and directors, both female and male. And, you know, I find that people express themselves differently. The issues they're underneath are the same, but the genders express themselves differently. I've worked in industry for 20 years in male-dominated industries in Ireland, Canada and US. And now with my business, I operate in Ireland, the UK and parts of Europe. And, you know, my biggest agenda, I guess, on female empowerment is to encourage women to step into their power and not let the external factors that they feel can hinder them. So it's about owning what you have, accepting it, the good and the bad, just going all out, letting the world know that you can shine, you can do anything you want. So I guess I've lived the experience of working in male-dominated industries. I've experienced some challenges, but I've never let them get to me in my career progression in business.
And Rabia, you touched on it there, I suppose, gender diversity and inclusion. Is that something that we're seeing a little bit more in workplaces now?
I think there's more focus on it that's related to the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals that are coming down from the United Nations. So that's where it's coming from. So there's a big trend in this in organizations, and they want to remain, you know, at the top or be the leaders in it. You know, there's several surveys out there that have been conducted. So one of the survey results that I shared last week at the Smart Manufacturing Conference at the RDI Hub was about the survey conducted by the CSO Ireland, the Gender Balance Survey, you know, where 700 enterprises were surveyed, and the results were that only 25% females are on the board of directors, and only 19% female chairpersons, and there are only 19% female CEOs, and 7 in 10 senior executives are male, and only 4 in 10 enterprises are actually setting targets to have higher female representation in senior roles in organizations. I'm surprised, but not that surprised either at the same time, but, you know, it's good that we're going in that direction. I don't think we shouldn't go in any direction. I think everything should be equal and balanced, but it's not. And I help organizations, I guess, make that gender balance in organizations or diversity balance in organizations. You know, diversity is a lot more than just gender. There's a lot more to it.
And Rabia, mm-hmm. based on those stats then, like, what can be done, I suppose, to, as you said, move us in the right direction, but to get us where we want to go, I suppose, and improve the situation and to make things a bit more equal?
Organisations need to understand that this imbalance exists, and they need to be willing to make a difference. So it's really at the top level in organisations and individuals to make that decision and say, we need to make a change. And it really comes from that place. It has to be deep rooted. There has to be a belief in it. You know, everyone has women in their lives in some capacity or another. And it's about what's happening today and then tomorrow, you know, for the next generations. So it has to be, we have to keep that in mind, all of us, women and men and all genders, for a better future. You know, it's 2024, which means it's 2024 years after AD. So we should have equal rights and equal opportunities. Unfortunately, that's not the case, but we all need to take responsibility. And my biggest thing is I firmly believe that women have to take equal responsibility in showcasing themselves to the world.
And Rabia, you mentioned that you spoke at the RDI Hub recently, and the topic that you were speaking about was empowered women, empowered businesses. Can you talk us maybe through a little bit about how that works? You know, if a woman is inspired and she feels empowered, how that can benefit her business?
Empowerment is having the power to accept yourself as you are. That's accepting the good, the bad and the ugly, and making peace with it. And once you do that, you can do anything that you set your mind to. Once you have empowered women and empowered people in general, that is going to shift the business in the direction that it needs to go.
The Digital Journey, brought to you by Radio Kerry and the RDI Hub in Kilorglan, funded by Commission Na Mban with the television license fee.